Greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. I understand what we mean when we say you're going to look to Brother so-and-so for the message. But I'd like to remind you that if you're looking to me, you're looking too low. You need to look to God. I think as we consider the thought of gathering together and worshiping in a public collective way like this, we need to remember that God is here with us. We believe that God hears and sees everything. We believe that God knows everything. And we believe that when we get to the end of life, we're going to be judged by those things that God knows and hears and sees. And is it important then that we have our minds, our thoughts, directed in the right direction? Our actions bring forth fruit for God's kingdom. Our words that portray a spirit of humility and meekness within us and a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I don't know what that does to you this morning as you think about God being here and God knowing everything, including what's going through your mind this morning. God having seen everything that happened in the last week. God having heard everything you said. I'm not sure how that affects you. I'm not sure how that works in your life and in your heart and in your mind. But I'd like to draw your attention to a verse in Proverbs chapter 29. And this was a message that assigned this message some time ago. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says this: where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now I want to thank Brother Eric for his devotional this morning. Brother Eric, that was a vision. And if we have the vision that Brother Eric talked about this morning, about looking forward to the time when there will be no more tears, if we have that vision in our minds, if we have that thought in our minds, it's going to decide and direct how we live life today. But here the proverb writer, and we believe it to be Solomon, had this to say, that there needs to be a vision. Because if there is no vision, the people perish. So let's take a look at this verse a little bit. And then we want to branch out and look at some other thoughts surrounding that. I've heard the phrase, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Does it matter what we stand for, or is any stand good enough? This word vision here that we're looking at in Proverbs 29 simply means a sight. Now it can be mentally as a dream or a revelation, or it can also mean an oracle, which is a word, a law, a direct speaking of God's word. So, What is the vision that we are called to have today? What is the vision that Solomon is concerned about here, where there is no vision? I'm not sure what goes through your mind when you think about that. But as we consider the fact that a vision is oftentimes considered something that is in the future, what vision do you have for the future? What are you looking at? Where is your mind directed? Where are your energies and your actions directed when you think about the vision that you're locked in on? Is it a vision of wealth, like it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4 and 5 talk about that too, about the grasping a hold of and striving for riches and wealth and honor. Is that what we're locked into? Is that the vision that we have? Is that the ground truth that we're working towards? Strength and health. You know, sometimes we see pictures of bodybuilders and we see pictures of athletes and we see pictures of individuals who have put in a lot of effort to have physical strength and physical abilities, and they train and they work and they put forth hours of practice. What is that? What is the end goal? The end goal is to win, to glorify, and to bring honor to themselves most of the time. Knowledge. People strive for knowledge. People have that as their vision and their goal, to learn and to know. And there's many people that know a whole lot more than I do. And I'm glad that there's some people that know a lot more than I do. I'm glad there's people that knew what to do when Mary's heart wasn't working right. I was glad there's people that had a lot more knowledge and expertise than what I had. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about those individuals who have knowledge as their goal as an end game. That is what they want to do. They want to know a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong with having a curious mind and trying to learn everything you can. You children that are still in school, I hope you apply yourself better than I did. I hope you have more interest in gaining knowledge than what I did. All I could think about was looking outside and wishing I was out there. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we can gain knowledge on that are not necessarily wrong in themselves. But if they become an end in themselves, then it's a problem. But in Proverbs here, he's saying, you know, if there's no vision, and you know, a lot of people have visions, a lot of people have goals, a lot of people have dreams of what they want to reach and attain to. So it's not just any vision. But he's talking about a specific vision here. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And that's where we want to circle around to, is the fact of our lives, ourselves, our person, our character, our minds, our conscience, being centered around the law of God, the commitment to God, and the desire to be a person that is pleasing to God. Now, right along with that, we look at the different visions that can happen. What happens when there is no vision of God? What happens? Why is Solomon so concerned here, the wisest man that ever existed? Why is he so concerned about individuals having a vision? Or maybe in his day, more the king, the religious leaders. Why was he so concerned about a vision being present? I believe, brothers and sisters, that if there is no goal, you know, you start out on a project, and there's no end goal. You know, if a carpenter would start out nailing boards together and have no end goal of having a house or some type of a building, there's no direction. Now, you can nail all kinds of boards, 2x4s, and plywood, and whatever. You can nail it together, but unless there's a plan and an end goal, it's just a pile of wood with some steel nails in it, right? But when that is put together in a proper way, in a proper order, and in the proper place, you have a building that can serve a purpose. But where there is no guideline, no vision, no direction, no purpose, individuals begin to go out on their own. And what happens oftentimes is, you know, people start going their own way. Everybody does, you know, like the Old Testament says, people did what was right in their own eyes because there was no leadership. There was no direction. They did what was right in their own eyes. Another catastrophic thing about that is that souls are lost. Souls end up being lost because there is no direction given as to how an individual can become get into a right relationship with God. Youth become disillusioned. Well, there's nothing to this. You know, there's just no end. There's nothing to look forward to. Parents become complacent. There's nothing to strive for, nothing to direct their families, nothing to give substance and stability. So why put forth the effort to try and teach and train? Because there's nothing really, there's no solid base to go on. And older folks give up because, well, I worked all my life. There's just nothing. You know, if wealth and health and happiness were our goal and vision, many times when we get older, most of that is gone. So we need something more than just those goals to grasp onto. And we need a vision in order for there to be anything solid, anything worthwhile, anything that brings forth fulfillment in our lives. We can strive and strive and strive for these earthly things. But There's no surety in them. Wealth can be gone in a fleeting moment. Same with health. and happiness goes right along out the door with it. So what are we grasping on? What is the vision that we are working for today? And we looked at that a little bit earlier, but we want to look at that more in a solid context as we continue on this message. He says there at the end of verse 18, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So in contrast, we look at the Proverbs, and they're oftentimes like in contrast form. And in the old Hebrew, that was what poetry was. Poetry was often contrast or what we would call oxymorons today. Sometimes giving things that really seem like contradiction, and yet they're actually proving the same point. So here he says, you know, he compares the lack of vision to a person that is keeping the law. So now, as I talked about at the beginning here, Brother Eric with his devotional on looking toward the end of life and looking toward the time when we can experience the joys of heaven and no more tears and being with Jesus. If that is our vision, brothers and sisters, it's going to affect our everyday life. It's going to affect the decisions we make. It's going to affect the goals that we have here on this earth. And it's going to affect our relationship with other individuals. So now my question is, before we go any further, in the Old Testament, It was the leaders, the religious leaders, or the king, that had the vision and brought the people along. You see what happened, and if you read through 1st and 2nd Kings and the Chronicles, you read through those and you see a good king rallied the people around God and the temple and brought prosperity to the kingdom. An evil king brought judgment and brought hardship. So we see that the leadership is a responsible person in this picture. And we see how when there was a good leader, the people rallied. And when there was an evil leader, they fell away. But there's also some instances where there was a good leader and the people did not follow. We read about the prophets, how they spoke to the people and encouraged the people and pled with the people to return to the Lord. They had a vision. They had a goal, but the people did not pick up that vision. And there was times that there was individuals that had visions, and they lived a life that was pure in the sight of God, and yet that did not affect the people around them. And the people around them did not pick up that vision. So we see, brothers and sisters, back in that time, as well as today, those that need to get the vision are us. It's me. It's you. It's individual people. Yes, we need, as a church, we need to have a vision. As a pastor and the leader of the church here, I need to have a vision. I need to have a goal. I need to live that vision. I need to live that goal. I need to live that purpose. But it's you individually that are living in the sight of God from day to day that need to have the purpose and the vision and the goal in your life to fulfill the responsibilities that God has laid on you, obedience to His word, submission, humility, strength and weakness, and so forth. We could go on. We know that the vision that Solomon is talking about here is a vision to live wholeheartedly for God. Living in the law of God, living in the commands of God. And I ask you this question this morning. In all the other things that you're doing from day to day, ladies, you're sewing, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're gardening, men, the jobs that you have, whatever it may be, you go about your duties to earn a living for your family, to support your family. In all of that, from day to day, what is your vision? Is that your vision to provide for your families? To get your garden cleaned and your flower beds looking pretty and your family dressed nicely and fed well and all that in a clean house. If our vision doesn't transcend all that, we have no vision. Because all that's going to fade away. All that's going to be left behind. When we die, all that comes to an end. Brethren, when you die, it quits. The job quits. The money flow quits. The building and accumulating and whatever all else goes with it, that all ends. Ladies, when the end of life comes, the gardening, the flower beds, the cooking, the cleaning, the baking, the sewing, that all ends. That's all done. Our day-to-day things are done. Then what? Then what? We need to have a vision that reaches much further than these day-to-day things. They are important. Brethren, if you would come home from a long, hard day's work and your wife's sitting there on the rocker and saying, "Well, I didn't get to garden weeded today, so I guess you're gonna have to go out and do it. And no, I didn't get supper done either, so I guess you're gonna have to go out there and do it without eating supper. And oh yeah, while you're out there, I noticed that the flower bed over there is getting kind of weedy too, so could you pull those weeds?" What would we think? Well, what were you doing all day? Probably be one of the first things that would come to our mind. Or maybe we'd say, "Well, are you not feeling well? Is there something wrong?" Ladies, if your husband would get up in the morning and go and sit on his recliner and say, well, I just don't feel like going to work today, what would you think? Or what am I going to use to buy the groceries? You know, God looks at us and he sees us scurrying around here doing so many things. And I believe he has a concern as to what the vision is. Again, these things are necessary. These day-to-day things are necessary. But I wonder sometimes, and I look at my own life and I say, why am I so wrapped up in these day-to-day things and necessities and duties that it seems like I hardly have any time to think about the vision that God wants me to have? If this life were all that we had, then I could understand why we are so wrapped up in it and do all these things. But brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that this life is a very short time frame and very, I almost said insignificant, but that's not the word I want, because it is very significant, the decisions that we make in this life in relation to eternity. But as far as what we have, it's very insignificant in relation to eternity. Because, okay, so we strive for gold. Well, in eternity, in heaven, streets are going to be gold. Or that's what John tells us. That's the closest he could get to what the streets were made of. Well, they're paved with gold. So why strive for gold here when in heaven it's going to be the streets? And we can strive for peace here. There's a lot of people out decrying and detesting and marching against war and crime and so forth, and we need peace. The only way we can find peace is if we have a vision of God and become submissive to him in our lives. And Jesus tells us that he's going to give us peace if we come to him. But brothers and sisters, even the peace that we can have here on this earth, as far as the peace that God gives us, is only a foretaste of the peace that we're going to have in heaven. Because there, we're not going to be disturbed by temptation and sin. There, we're not going to be disturbed by war and rumors of wars. We're not going to be disturbed by violence and murder and theft and the list could go on. But you know, if we really stop and think about it, and we compare what is waiting for us in heaven compared to what we can attain here on this earth, the vision should be clear. He that keepeth the law. Brothers and sisters, my concern, my prayer for each one of us, myself included, first of all, myself first of all, and then all of you included, is that we can find the vision that God wants us to latch on to, and that is to keep his law. Because that is the only way. That is the only way, brothers and sisters, that we can have any type, any kind of peace here and now. That is the only way that we can have any kind of hope here and now. That is the only way that we can have a free conscience here and now. And as we look forward to heaven and the result, the end goal for the vision that we have. And I say an end goal, but, you know, really, heaven and eternity never ends then. We look at, so often we look at it in the reference of time that we live in right now. But in heaven, there will be no time. So we're talking about an end goal, and that end goal never ends. Again, it's one of those paradoxes and oxymoron, if you want to call it that. But when we can grasp the vision of the law of God that says the unbelieving shall perish, but those that have kept my law shall enter into eternity in heaven. What more? What more can you ask for? But you know, brothers and sisters, we have an enemy that is working every day to try and get us to lose that vision. We have an enemy that every day is trying to get us to lay aside the vision of eternity for the here and now. He wants to drag us right back into the present and have us so involved in the present that we forget the future. But I want to ask you this morning, and I want you to think about it very seriously. The vision that you have, the goal that you have, and I'm not saying the one that if somebody would ask you, what's your goal? And you say, well, you know, to please the Lord. But I want to know what your goal and your vision is deep down in your heart. Look at yourself very seriously, very honestly. When you get to the end of life and you close your eyes for the last time and you take your last breath, where will that vision place you? That's the question. I believe every one of us would say that our goal and vision is what Solomon is talking about here, to keep the law and be a happy or a joyous or a blessed individual. But what is God seeing when he sees our life? What is God hearing when he hears our speech and our voice? What does God know about us that we don't want to know about us? That's the question. And that's the question that every one of us needs to answer this morning. You don't need to answer it to me. I'll be honest, brothers and sisters, you don't stand before me. Yes, I am one of the church leaders. And yes, I am one of the individuals that is required to try and maintain purity and holiness within the church. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what I know or see or don't know and don't see. But it's what God knows and sees about you. And the vision that God sees that your life is striving towards. I'm not here this morning to put anybody on a guilt trip. But brothers and sisters, when we get a vision of God, when we get a vision of God's holiness, I believe that there's going to be a change in our lives. There's going to be a change of what we're working towards and what we're working for. There's going to be a change of what we wish to accomplish. I'm not expecting everybody to go home and call in tomorrow and say, I'm not coming to work because I'm going to be serving the Lord. But brothers and sisters, everything else that we do should be in light of the vision and goal that we have to know the law, to love the law, and be obedient to the law of God. Let's kneel for prayer.